I love him. I love him. All because that he first loved me. And he purchased my salvation on Calvary tree. Can you sing it again? I love him. I love him. Oh, because that he first loved me and he purchased my salvation on Calvary. When I come to the river at the ending of day, when the last winds of sorrow have blown, there'll be somebody waiting to show me. I won't have to cross Jordan alone. I won't have to cross Jordan alone. Jesus died on my sin to when the darkness I see, he'll be waiting for me, and I won't have to cross Jordan alone. Sometimes I'm so weary, I'm troubled and I'm sad. When it seems that my friends have all gone, but there's one thought that cheers me and it makes my heart glad. I won't have to cross the Jordan alone. We won't have to cross the Jordan alone. Jesus died all your sins to atone. When the darkness I see, he'll be waiting. Jordan alone. You can be seated. I'd like to talk with you just a little bit tonight. As you know, in John, where it says, in the beginning was the Word. I'd like to talk on that a little more. We talked about in the beginning God created. Now, and I said that it relates to in the beginning was the Word in the book of John, the first chapter. Now, I'd like to just comment just a little bit on it. And I might say some things sometimes, I usually always do. And I might say some things, as I told my wife today, that to you or to the world, it might seem out in left field. It seems like that got a little thing in the world, you know, that's way out in left field. It seems like that through my ministry, somehow or another, that God has dealt with me in such a way that we have said so many, many things that is not to the world, not kosher, that is not doctrinal to the world, to the regular trend of the ministry, people teaching and believing, and so many things. And it isn't because that we are trying to be different, nor is it because we feel we know more than someone else, or that we're trying to start something new. It's not because we're contrary, but this is because this is the way it is. What it is, we read the Bible and we study the Bible all of our life, and we're so prone in life to be routineness. That is, we're so in our minds prone to follow routine. And because of the great denominational powers of the world, the great religious powers of the world, the great ecclesiastical powers of the world, the ecclesia, as we say, because of that, we just kind of get in a rut. And if God tells us something, or if we see something, we don't have the boldness to say it, or we just won't come out and say it because we're so afraid that we'll be off track, and we're so afraid that it might not be kosher with the world or with the regular routine of the world. And so then we just bypass a beautiful diamond, a beautiful nugget in the rough, and we don't try to understand. We just say, well, that's wrong because I know the overseer didn't have it that way and the preacher before me didn't have it that way. But you know, that's not very wise. That's not very wise. You think of what I'm saying. Not very wise. Someone would say, well, why do you say that, Brother Pike? Because if you look at religion all down through the years, you'll find out that they do this. And they'll set up a doctrine, whether it's Baptist, Methodist, Church of God, Pentecostal, whatever it might be, Catholic. And they'll set this thing up, and they'll set it up, let's say we set it up in the 1900s. That's good. Now, but then what about all the days that's coming? All the days that's coming. Someone said, well, this is our doctrine. Well, that's fine. No problem with that. The Bible speaks of the doctrine of the apostles, an apostolic doctrine. And consequently, they were the foundation of the church and the only one that could be laid that Christ Jesus himself laid. And Paul said, other ones cannot be laid, so there won't be any more foundations of the church. Somebody said, not me preaching apostolic doctrine. Well, that's because you're a heretic. And the Bible said, after admonishing you one or two times, reject you because you're not going to get straight. See, there's only one Jesus, and he laid only one foundation, and that was the apostles' teachings. And the Bible calls it in the Acts, book of Acts, that is where the action was. They call this the apostles' doctrine. And they were the foundation of the church, and Peter opened the door to the Gentiles and to the Jews, and the first church was set up. And that foundation remained throughout the years. It's never been altered. It's never been changed. It becomes the foundation of New Jerusalem, and their names are found in the foundation of New Jerusalem and the great pyramid city, which is built up, spiritually speaking, of the lively stones where God said, I will remember you in the day that I make up my jewels. Now, as to those walls, Brother Paul, not being Paul at all, nor Saul, but Christ, being the chief cornerstone and the capstone, the all-seeing eye with the vision as to the revelation of Jesus Christ. And so the city was capstone. Now, we said this before, that this great, wonderful turn of event took place back in Moses' day. And it was there beneath the veil. Moses had seen great things for about 80 days up on the mountain and there in the Shekinah glory of God. And God had said to Moses, these things that you see, we can say today were heavenly things. And indeed they were. But you see that you make all of these things in the earth, the tabernacle, all of these things, the altars, the tables, the candlestick. You see that you make them after the order of the pattern that shown thee in the mount. For I'm telling you these heavenly things. And sure enough, when you get beneath the veil, beyond the veil, rend the veil, you move into those things, you say, well, my God, my God, my God. Moses actually looked and he saw great and mighty things. And these things, perhaps even he did not understand in his day, only seeing the glory of God as to the hind part, we see as Calvary back to the garden, rightness of history of the garden and the experience on down to Egypt, which we don't even have in history today. All we have is some wild theory of scientists, falsely so-called, who has said we can prove this is to billions of years by carbons, and which I said was a bunch of foolishness. And sure enough, I just got a report in the last two or three days said that they have proved out that it was foolishness that the carbons don't work after all. Let's give the Lord a after all these many years. So that we know that we're still on trail and we're still right in there with the right thing because ours ain't give out and it ain't changed. Jesus Christ is the same. Yesterday, today, and forever. We know we're winning out and the world is losing out with a heresy and theory. So we're not theologians, but we love the Lord. All right, now, when we think about this, I say it's foolish to follow routine in religion. Scientists don't do that. Scientists, they go on and they're theorizing and they're always coming up with something new and they've always got a new order and they've always got a new thing and they come right on to the electronic age and all these kind of things, see? And so why then should we be in a rut? That's what Satan wants, is for us to stay back here in a rut, never grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus, never go on to the real things of God. Someone would say, well, Brother Pike, God did it. He showed it to us. He showed it to our forefathers, and that settles it. Well, if that is true, then why did the Bible tell us that we have entered into the labor of other men that was in the past? And why does the Bible tell us that we have seen or come to see great and mighty things that they never did see and they longed to see and desired to see? See, so it's very evident that we're built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets. Christ Jesus being the chief cornerstone, and you being the lively stones. Paul being a wise master builder, Abraham seeking the city whose builder and maker is God, and that Paul was Christ. Now, when we think about these things, then we know that we're supposed to grow. But is God doing anything new? Has God done anything new? He said, I will do a new thing. If you can't find nothing that God does new, he said, my mercy is new every day. And he said, and I will do a new thing. Somebody says, but Brother Pike, the Bible said there's nothing new under the sun. Solomon said there's nothing new under the sun. Nothing new. It is true that there's nothing new under the sun to this extent. Solomon, being a great wise man, he was able to comprehend these things that God was doing in that he realized that these things was by foreknowledge to whatever degree it was revealed to him in that day, that all of the works of God are known unto him from the beginning and that it was an act of God. He began to see some things. See, so it wasn't new, nothing new under the sun to God. But let me tell you, there's plenty new under the sun to mankind. Stop and think it over now. There's a lot of things happening new in your day. See, and when Jesus Christ died for the remission of sin, that was new. He had never done it before, only in the foreknowledge of God. See, and when all these things come to pass, that's brand new. Now, somebody said, well, what are you talking about? When I married my wife, that was brand new. I'd never married her before. Somebody said, well, men's been marrying women all down through the years. But, see, I never married my wife. Let's give the Lord a hand. See, there's plenty new under the sun. It's just our misunderstanding of the whole thing. So then, there's plenty of new things. And because of that, as a consequence of that, well, we're preaching new things. And we're going on to new things. And we're growing. See, how can I grow? It's like a little child. All heavenly things, all of the invisible things from the creation of the world, clearly understood by the things which do appear even to his eternal Godhead, so that we're without excuse. When we think of that, we know that a child gets something new every day. He grows. It's not new to the extent that another child grows. See, but it's a brand new thing. It's a brand new child. See, and he's growing up. Now, if I'm to grow up in Christ, I must grow in his grace, and I must grow in his knowledge. How can I grow in his grace? By his knowledge. The more I know about him and his grace, the more I claim his grace. Now, it's just like going to school. That's the same difference, see? How are you going to get a diplomacy? You have to keep on learning. So when we come to these kind of things, we realize that something is taking place. And the Bible said that we are growing. Now, what am I doing? I am transformating in mind every day. I'm transformating in mind from glory to glory, glory to glory. That's something new. Now, somebody said, well, I don't know, somebody else transformated. No, I see you're off track. It says under the sun. Your transformation in glory isn't even under the sun. It's on the inside of you. It's not even seen in the biological approach. So then we realize that we are growing in the grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ into the great and mighty things of God. And we're going on from day to day to become, what are we becoming? Well, someone would say, well, nothing new under the sun. Yeah, there's something new. What is this new thing that we're talking about? We're talking about becoming gods. Gods, when Jesus came, men became sons of God. And he said, even John, no greater under the sun as them that's born of men and women, but now the least in the kingdom is greater. And someone would say, wait a minute, what do you mean? I mean, that's the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. Somebody said, well, that's not under the sun. Oh, yes, the Bible said we're bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. We'd be holy in body and spirit. And that this heavenly treasure that's on the inside is to be made manifest in our mortal genes. So when we think of all these things, we know that we must grow. So this is why that I'm always teaching something new. This is why that I'm always bringing something that don't agree with the theological seminaries of today and the theologians of today. It's because it is something new from God. Somebody would say, but look at all the great theologians, Brother Pike. They done thought of all them kind of things. I know, but I told you I'm not a theologian. I'm a son of God. See, they theorize, and everybody before them theorized, and they just come right on down with their theories trying to prove them. A lot of them is just a lot of junk. See, but the thing is, I didn't theorize nothing. I went to God, and I asked God for these things, and God revealed these things to me. He called me as he did Paul, striking me down and turning me around, and I began to seek his face. And because of that, he hath revealed these things. And today, it's just as fresh as it can be. It is new manner from heaven, and we're going right on. It's like when I was preaching down in Alabama a long time ago, I was preaching there when God opened a man's ears. See, and we was preaching, and we was preaching that night about wormy bread. And they were messing around there with Brother Branham's message, and they wasn't moving on. Now, you know, I can teach you one thing today and come back and teach you the same thing tomorrow and the same thing the next day, and that'll get wormy. Oh, no. Somebody says, oh, no, not the Word of God. See, that's where you don't understand. Somebody says, you're going to say the Word of God can become wormy? Well, let's say it like this. You better understand. And they change the truth into a lie. Are you going to say they change the truth into a lie? Let's give the Lord a hand. See, it's just our misconcept and our misunderstanding. That's what it is. And the devil keeps us in a strait to where we can't do what we need to do because of these things. So then, how can the Word of God become wormy? He told them in the wilderness, he said, don't try to hold this over now. See, if I tell you the thing today, it's fresh manna. I say, repent of your sins and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin. So then you get baptized. Now, tomorrow I come back to you and I say, did you get baptized in Jesus' name? He said, well, sure. I say, repent of your sins and be baptized in Jesus' name. Does that make any sense? No, that's wormy. Somebody said, well, what are you talking about? I'm talking about what the Lord said when he said, Jacob, thy worm, I will help thee. You've done got wormy. You've done got intellectual. You've done changed the Word of God there into your intellectual expression, and you're doing nothing but quoting something out of your own intellect. The Holy Spirit isn't speaking through you at all, because the Holy Spirit don't do such foolish things. I might preach a sermon here to you today, collectively speaking, and I might preach the same sermon tomorrow, collectively speaking, and the next day, collectively speaking, and it might be five today, three tomorrow, whatever, being baptized in Jesus' name, and the rest of you might not get baptized, so I keep preaching because others need that. See, others need that. And where someone says, we've already heard that, I know, but you haven't done that, and it's not wormy. So you're still reaching for a soul. You just haven't come into the light. And finally the light comes on and you get baptized. See, and this is what I mean about growing. Get the manna every day. They tried to hold it over, and when they did, it bred worms and it upset the Lord. That is to say, religion breeds worms. Somebody would say, Brother Pike, religion is the thing that we need, not even if we call it the gospel. Paul said, if anybody comes unto you with any other gospel or another gospel, whether it's a bluegrass gospel or whatever kind, a junky gospel from all of these hippies or whatever, he said, don't you pay any attention to it. This gospel that I bring unto you and this Word of God that I bring unto you, this is the gospel of Jesus Christ. And when you hold it over as to your seminaries and your teachings and your schooling and your doctrines and your conversations and your enlightenment, and you take everything that the preacher says and you try to catalog it in your brain, your natural thinking, to make a library out of your brain up here, or whatever, you know, or try to get it in your memory bank to the extent that you're trying to catalog it like a library, A, B, C, and 1, 2, 3, you are nothing but a worm. All of that's wormy bread. But folks, when you get the mind of Christ and the Spirit of Christ, and then when you get the life as to the Spirit of Christ, all of these things are in God. That is the mind of Christ. That's the life of Christ. And all of these things, when you get it like that, then they're fresh every day and they're coming to you. And God is talking to you continually. And you don't need anything to catalog or put back, trying to exalt the flesh or put it all together in some kind of program to where you look good as some kind of orator when you get up there and your speech is just so. Paul said, I didn't come to you with enticing words of man's wisdom. So then that means that we are going about it wrong when we do those kind of things. We're supposed to be led by the Spirit, moved by the Spirit. Abraham didn't know where he was going. He sojourned in a land that he didn't know anything about. He didn't have no map. It wasn't mapped out. You know, when I started to build Bethlehem, I made a mistake. I come out here and by faith, step by step, I built and built and built. And we got it built, and then we had some detail work and a few little things to fix here. So I said, what we'll do now, We'll just draw the blueprints, put it all together, because I've got a lot of things to do, and we'll put some overseers out here, and they can just follow the blueprints and do this and do that, which is a great thing. That's a wonderful thing. You know, I'll see that you make all things according to the pattern shown thee in the mount. But that's not too good when the leader is not there. It's not too good to try to get the sheep to do anything when their shepherd is not there. They just want to stand still till he comes. So I started that, and the first thing you know, this overseer wanted to lord over another man, and another man over another man, and then they were splitting hairs like the theologians of today over religion. And the first thing you know, everybody was confused. Our work stopped. Everything went flat, and we couldn't get nothing done. And they were changing the blueprints, and one said, "That ain't the way Brother Pike wants it," and the other says, "Well, it's like this." And then finally, we just had a confusion. I had to get rid of all of that, go back, start all over, get the man, and go right on and do what I had to do. Even if I had an overseer, I had to stay right there with him and instruct him from time to time is what I wanted, and we went right on. We didn't have any problem. And so then we are builders, Paul said. I am a wise master builder, he said. And we are building the kingdom of God, and we are building the great pyramid city of Almighty God. Somebody says, and Abraham sought a city whose builder and maker was God. So there it was. How beautiful it was. Somebody says, well, bless God, you don't have nothing to do with it. It said it was God. That's where you're wrong. See, Gideon said, the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. And it's true that somebody did have something to do with it, and that was Paul, the wise master builder. And not only Paul, but he said, every one of you that's a builder, take heed how that you build, because God builds through man, and all that God has ever done has been through a man. When God created the world, came forth and created the world, he did it through a man. And the whole world was created through a man. And when death came, it came through a man. And when life and resurrection come, it come through a man. And God ruled the world through a man, created the world by a man, received the world by a man, redeemed the world by a man, and will rule throughout eternity by a man. Let's give him a hand. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was made flesh, and in God's foreknowledge, the Lord Jesus was there, and he was the preeminence of all things and the head of all things, and he was before all things. And Jesus said, Father, the man Christ Jesus, restore unto me the joys I had with thee before the world ever was. Or he could have said, when you said, come and let us make man in our own image, that is in your image, Son, in the image of a man, God, the great Spirit. And it was his desire to project himself to become a man when God himself become a man. And that was the whole thing, is for the spirit of the body. Now, I just said that to say this, just running down a few little things like that. I was telling my wife today, a lot of times people take the idea, because of the new things that we say or the things that's so strange, they say, you know, Brother Pike, he's a strange fellow. You know, or they call it heresy. Or whatever. They call Paul a heretic. So they said, this is so strange. And they say, he's an ignoramus. You know, he doesn't believe in anything. No, folks, not just any kind of religion. The Bible said pure and undefiled religion before God and the fathers to visit the widows and the orphans in their afflictions and keep yourselves unspotted from the world. And then besides that, they say, just don't believe in nothing but religion. But as I was telling a brother, talking to him, when God said, let there be, he wasn't talking about religion. I mean, let's be realistic now. If we're going to use an intellectual approach to it. When he said, the Bible said he come forth and there was darkness upon the face of the deep. That wasn't religion. And when God came forth, he wasn't religion. He was a spirit. And when he created the heavens and the earth, that wasn't religion. And when he created the trees, and when he created the Bible, said the heavens, the earth, and the seas, and all the species of the beast, and of the fish, and of the birds, that wasn't religion. When he made the stars and the celestial that Einstein and others have studied down through the years during their lifetime, that wasn't religion. See, that's what we call science. That's what we call approaching things from the intellect as to the world. See, that wasn't religion. God wasn't a fanatic. He knew what he was doing. See, he isn't some religious fanatic over here that's just trying to get his little bit off in the corner. He owns this world. The fanatics are those that have reflected it, set up things through a tree of knowledge, tried to subdue and take it over through their intellectual ignorance that they call brilliance. See, and try to take God's creation away from him and God's human act away from him and all the great things of God away from him. And they're the ignoramuses. And Paul said, I would not have you ignorant. And the Bible said they are ignorant. And some of them willingly ignorant because they will not apply themselves. And Paul said they are ignorant because of the darkness as to this thing that blinds them on the inside. He said, by the ignorance that is within them, even Lucifer, the ignorant one, because light is understanding, and he is the ruler of ignorance. He is the ruler of darkness, which means no understanding, ever learning and never coming to the knowledge of the truth, and always giving diplomacies as to one to another to lift them up, to magnify them in more ignorance, when all of the world and everything in it is but vanity. All of their studies, it's all that, and they're caught in the rim and radius of that, and all of them's going to die, and with all of their scientists, all of their medical proging, whatever, they can't even make a man live as long as Enoch did. Let's give the Lord a hand. He didn't even have a family physician. All right, so then we know that somebody is off trail somewhere. And what, like I was telling my wife, see, God in the beginning, he created the heavens and the earth. He created the beautiful garden. He created all these things. And it wasn't until after all these things were created, then God came to visit, that Satan got in the way, caused the problem, interrupted, run an interference, took the body over that God was going to be in. And in this, and going in there, he caused the great interruption that upset God so much and caused God to get so angry when God looked and saw all the problems of the earth filled with corruption and all the deaths and sorrows, and it repented him and grieved him in his heart that he made man. See, because of Satan's interference, and God got so angry that he created hell for the devil and his angels in the time of his anger. And he didn't intend for man to go there. But man becomes the embodiment as to give himself to Satan and becomes a devil like Judas and has to go pay the price, going into hell, and hell wasn't made for that. So the Bible said, hell hath enlarged itself without measure and moved for to meet thy coming because of the way that people have done. Becoming God's enemy, willingly knowing better. He said, knowing that people that done this, knowing the judgments upon these people, he said, you turn and do the same things. He said, how can you escape the damnation of hell? He said, you are a generation of vipers. That is God himself speaking through his own body, Jesus. Now, when we say that, he simply meant that, as John said, Cain was of the wicked one. Was he then of Adam? Oh, no. The Bible said he was of the wicked one. And when Jesus came and Jesus talked to some of the Pharisees and scribes, and they felt a little insulted by his presence and his great deity and power, and they felt a little belittled, then they said to him, we be children of Abraham. We're not children of fornication. He said, if you was from God, he said, you would love me. God sent me. And he said, you're not Abraham's children. Abraham saw my day. He rejoiced to see it and was glad. And evidently Abraham did under the oak of Mamre. When he came to visit there with Abraham under the oak of Mamre just before the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah. They said, well, you're not yet 50 years old, and you say Abraham saw your day. He said, Abraham saw my day and rejoiced to see it. And verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. That is Moses telling my I am sent you. So, he's not I was or shall be, he is I am. The present help in the time of need. He is forever and ever, from everlasting to everlasting. He doesn't have an origin, doesn't have a beginning. When we say in the beginning, it's the beginning of man, it's the act of creation, the beginning of the world. The origin, he doesn't have an origin. The origin is of man, and the only origin you'll find in God is where he originated as to man's sight in a human body. So when we come to this, we're made to realize the greatness and the awesomeness of God. What tabernacle, what temple shall ye build me, seeing that I fill the heavens of heavens, he said to David and to Solomon. See, and yet he honors us. And yet the great Almighty God put all of himself in one man called Jesus Christ, which means that he put the mind is to comprehend the heights, the depth, the width, the length, all these things, as he said to you, in Jesus Christ, that he might work through that one body as to the atoning blood, as to the Lamb, throughout eternity. And there's no bottom, there's no top, there's no sides, there's no windows, there's no basements. See, when you get off of your little planet, there ain't no need of science looking for the walls somewhere and to bump into the sky somewhere. And going down past the earth to find the bottom somewhere, it's called the bottomless. There is no such thing. And when you get out of the radius and confines of your intellectual stability of this little old radius of time, you're in trouble, folks. And you're going to outgrow your diapers. You might as well get ready. And you're going to have to get off your bottle. There's going to come a time you might not get off of it, and you might not get out of your diaper as to off the bottle and out of the diaper to the extent that you change over with God and go on to grow into manhood, but you're going to get out of it to the extent that you're going to be caught in the darkness and you're going to change over and find the bitter sting of being turned over to the tormentors and find out that you can't just be children of the world and play around with all the toys of the world and the things of the world and lust and covetous and your foolishness of your little diplomacies and what you call brilliance in this world. Paul said, when I was a child, I spake as a child. When I became a man, I put away childish things. So I said all of that again to say this, that we are supposed to grow up. We are gods. We were made to be gods. And we're made to comprehend the heights, the depth, the width, and the length. See, and that's through God, because God filleth all in all. He's from everlasting to everlasting. There is no time with him as to beginning. There is no time with him as to end. There is no such. The angel declared time to be at an end as to what man's cycle was. See, and time is to a beginning. He's the Alpha and Omega. That is, he started all this, and he created, and he stopped all this when he said, that's enough, time no more. See, and it's just a little old span like an accordion pulled out, closed up, and thrown away. Because beyond that, there ain't nothing. That's just for man. And the knowledge that man is to get is like from A, B, C, A to B, and that from 1 to 3. See, that is to say, from his little kindergarten to his little elementary grades and his high school, as they call it, and then into college, and he's supposed to be a professional, be out there in the world, and he's with the ecclesia, and he's out there, and he's getting all the money, and he's getting all the praise, and he's the man of the hour, which is only symbolic of the church. See, so there is a little thing of a few years that makes him what he is in his educational system to prepare him, to put him out there to where he can practice for the rest of his life or learn or be experimenting and drawing the money, the paychecks, and lord over the people and make them his subject. See, which is symbolic that there is something in God as to the knowledge of God that he has set forth for program as to your birth, to your beginning, to your end, to the chain, to bring you from point A to point B, that you might have your diplomacy, that is, the things of God have an end. That's all. But folks, when you think of the things of God having an end, it's only those things that you might learn to understand God and comprehend God and enter into God's world. The heavens of heavens can't contain God. And the Bible said if all that God ever done, that the world itself could not contain the books. See, because God is from everlasting to everlasting. And we can only comprehend God through these means and measures as you set forth, and that through the mind of Jesus Christ. How great is God? How mighty is God? How great is God, as I wrote the song, as the Lord gave it to me. See, and who hath known his mind that they might instruct him? So these few little old things that we try to bring out, and yet when the Spirit speaks, the Spirit of God searcheth out the deep things, yea, the deep things. I say to you that we've got to get off the bottle. We've got to get out of the diaper. And I say these things as talking to you as one that loves you. See, we've got to get out of this intellectual mind of contrariness and darkness, this great light of understanding that is now shining in the darkness ever since Calvary. And it has come, and Jesus was that great light. And when he went away, that light within that body, when the veil was rent like the little clay pitcher as to Gideon, then this light come into you and I by measure. As the candlelight service with the candle powers, and it's growing brighter and brighter. See, and we are supposed to be the light of the world, and all the world is supposed to come to our shining as to our understanding. See, and get out of that darkness and eradicate this darkness, for the whole world is dark. And the Bible said the world shall come into gross darkness, but gross darkness shall cover the people in the end time. And already it's doing it, which means intellectual darkness. And that's what I was talking to you about the other night. See, this intellectual darkness is coming in. All of this is coming in. Like we was trying to talk to you last night, I don't have time to go into those things tonight. But like the presidency, these kind of things, all of them falling out one at another, following in a sequence and under Jimmy Carter's leadership, who calls for the man with the mark on his head, and then the plains of Dura, Daniel and that 666 down there as to Jimmy Carter, JC, like Christ or Antichrist. All this working together is a 1, 2, 3. And I hate to bring anything up just like this and sporadically speaking, because I don't have time to detail it, or the Lord doesn't have time through me as your pastor to detail it, because I don't have the time to stay here because of your patience. Now, like yesterday, I believe it was 8-10 hours that we ministered, almost continually. See, and we got over a few little things during the 10 hours because it was consecutive. All right, now, so then when I come up here with these few little things that go on tape, we try to explain as best we can. And in this little period of time, as tutoring, Paul said, being a preacher and a teacher, and yet we're not speaking but Christ, and that he hath given us the revelation, and this is the mystery for the church, and indeed it has to be today. If it was given to Paul as a mystery back there, and Jesus said it was a mystery to the extent not given to the world but to the disciples, parabolic to the world, and everything's parabolic, then if this is to be a mystery, what advantage would it have been for God to have given it to Paul, and then here the church is today and they don't even have any mystery? They don't have any understanding. That wouldn't make any sense at all. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. See, it's a mystery because it has to translate the inner man, and it doesn't have anything to do with the outer man. The change of the outer man is only the result of the inner man as to that heavenly treasure on the inside that is to be made manifest in your mortal genes. And that's where you get off trail in looking for it. And I'm just hurrying along, stumbling a lot tonight, because there's a few things I want to say along that line as to the translation, and it looks like I just can't get to it because I have so much preliminaries to the elementary side of it to bring up before I can get to that as to the issue of today, of a present-day truth of what we really need to know, so I have to hurry. I don't do this when I'm talking to the brethren, because I slow down and take hours or whatever, and I just let the Spirit speak, but when I try to hurry up, then I've got a problem, because all kind of minds, all kind of spirits. And my mind is hitting this, and it's like a boat hitting a rudder over here, and it's interfering. So the more I hurry, the worse it gets. But anyway, this is what I'm trying to tell you. Now, in my mind, it's clear as the noonday, because it's been over and over in my mind, been shown to me in minute detail, and been expounded to different ones in part for hours and hours. So it isn't any problem up here for me. Now, so then, I'm saying that with all of those things coming around, then it's allegoric. It is evening time, and it shall come to pass in the evening time, there shall be light. And this light is the great light that sprang up at the evening time of Calvary, and it has come to be in your generation. And at Calvary, it was the evening time, because it was there that Peter said, "Ye are the people upon whom the evening time has come, or the ends of the world." So then, this is a great, mighty thing that God has done. It is so awesome. It is so fantastic. It is so phenomenal. This is so flabbergasting, as the world says, that there is no such word of expression for God. There is no such thing
as expression for God. There is no way the greatest of all of these people in the world of Ecclesia, there is no way that they can express it. No way. It is higher above their understanding than the heavens is the earth. They are without understanding. They cannot see it. They cannot even comprehend it. And besides that, the Bible said this is joy unspeakable. They don't have any terminology to even speak it. And it's just full of glory. So I don't know what to say other than trying to take the feeble little old alphabets or whatever we've got for our little puny stability of what we call brilliance to try to express God. But folks, He is inexpressible. He is incomprehensible. He is the great almighty God from everlasting to everlasting. So in Christ, this is all we can say. See, as in Christ, no man can get to Him except through Christ, and he cannot get to anybody except through that atonement as to Christ. No one except through the Son. So when I say this, I go back one more time to say, God is not an ignoramus. He is not some little feller that doesn't have good sense that Einstein and the brilliance of the world have discredited because of their ignorance and sat on a bench somewhere while they tell God how to live and what to do, and theologians split hairs over what they think is right and is not right. They are a bunch of ignorant people. They're nothing but animals. Nothing but animals, beasts, and some of them brute beasts made to be taken and burned. Boy, people don't like that. That insults them. They said, Jesus, you insulted them. They're upset. They said, Master, the hypocrites, said, you reproach us by saying these things. He said, you hypocrites. Let's give him another hand. You thought I said that on my own, didn't you? See, he said, you hypocrites, you blind leaders that strain at a gnat and swallow a camel, you generation of vipers. My, isn't that insulting? They said, Master, they felt insulted. He said, leave them alone. They're blind leaders of the blind. They all fall into the ditch. And then, like I was saying today, when Paul came, they said, this man that's turned the world upside down has come here. I say again, as I said to a few brethren yesterday, it wasn't that Paul had turned anything upside down. It was tilted already because of sin. Even science, as we say, they know that. Now, and Paul had come to turn it right side up. But because they were blind, following that of a bat that was allegorically showing them, they were upside down. Bats hang upside down. And everything that's upside down looks right side up to them. So they couldn't tell it was upside down because they were upside down. The people from college and all these things are upside down. And this is where the problem is. Oh, somebody said, now, Brother Pike, don't tell me that I see things upside down. Well, that's what your scientists say, that everything you see is upside down and it has to run through this up here before it ever turns right side up. Is that what they say? That's because you're upside down. So when it gets into the interior, and as to the man on the inside, the allegorics show it has to be turned right side up. So that means blindness. Jesus said they're bats. They don't have any understanding. They don't have any sight. They move by sensory. A bat can't see. A bat moves by sensory. That is, he is sensual. And the Bible speaks of people through their human senses, their five senses being sensual. They have sensually separated themselves from God. And they've exiled themselves from God. And they are exiled. See, they have done that sensually and they've gotten away from God. Why? Because they can't see. They're blind. Not see when light comes. They cannot see light. Scientists say they can't see light. They're blind. But we see light. The Bible said we behold the light of God in the face of Jesus as it's unveiled. Which light changes us into the very image of God as to the comprehension of the eyes of understanding. See, but bats can't see. When you look around naturally, all you see, 22 conductive nerves from the eye to the brain. That's just feeling around. And those nerves are knocked out, your eyes go out. And your ears, nerves, and your feeling, your taste. All human senses, you can't see. See, it's just a blind leading the blind. They all fall into the ditch. It's intellectual. Now, folks, when we consider all of this, then we have to remember we are trying to understand and we're trying to grow. And I'm not condoning ignorance. I believe in science, real science. The word science, not falsely so called, the word science meaning knowledge. I believe in the knowledge of God. I believe in the real things of God. When God created all things, He was creating the very things that Satan seized upon and through a human endeavor and intellectual stride has taken and put in books and wrote books and trying to figure it out and studied it. Like David said, the body, just the bodily chemistry. I am wonderfully made. They've tried to search out the heavens when he told them to leave that alone to start with. He didn't tell them to mess with the heavens. He said, multiply and replenish the earth. Not that. And when they started up there, he said, that's just the serpent climbing up into the upper lintel, the old worm that's on his belly, and I'll cast him out. He don't have any business up there. This is the footstool. This is the dust. See, like Adam, the generation, the head, all that in Adam, die, they die, sin upon all. See, that's the serpent. That's down there. We just say these things real compact and don't have time to explain it. So we can't really get it on tape and get it over to you to where it would be of a benefit to you. Just don't have any endurance as to stay long enough to listen. See, but in the world of the ecclesia, you can stay there all day, 8 hours, work for the belly. You can stay there day after day, 7 and 8 hours, to listen and tutor and listen to some man tell you something that don't make no kind of sense, that's ever learning and theorizing, and use your life, or sit under a television, or read a book, or a newspaper, or whatever, and use your life up, because there are devils and demons in you that's got your body. No good thing within the flesh. All flesh has corrupted its way before God. A lot of people say, don't insult me, Brother Pike. I'm telling you like it is. So when it comes to this, then I'm not condoning ignorance. I say that God has divided things right down the middle. I'm looking at that door from the sacred desk here, and I'm dividing things right down the middle. When I saw the vision, I saw part of them like a one-side turkeys. I say turkeys. They were talking in goblin-like turkeys. They didn't make no sense at all. They couldn't understand each other. I couldn't understand them, and they couldn't understand me, and that's what we got. If you divide the congregation up, it was shown to me as right down the middle and on either side, because the Bible said God put a firmament in between the waters, waters having to do with people. Some of these things we spoke about to our wife today, see if the Lord did. So, but really the dividing is that they're scattered all among each other, interwoven, but God's got a firmament in between them, and they're divided. And I saw them, and on one side, they talked, they understood, they had good understanding, they had good sense, they were talking, I understood them, they understood me, and God was simply saying that the dividing time, the casting out, the receiving and the rejecting was at hand, that the house of God is where it all starts, as to the blessing, the curse, as to remit or to retain. And when I talk about this at Calvary, I think of how God divided the body from the spirit so that he could kill the body, do away with the old beast part, the old image, the old bastard child, that thing that caused all the problems. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? That infiltrated thing, the weak side, that is the feminine that Satan took advantage of, that don't have any life in it whatsoever, is just a reflector and a carrier of the life of man or the life of the child. I know women, they get indignant, you know, over that, and they say, don't tell me I don't have a life and I don't have a mind. You know, they run the world today. It's called the woman's world because she's the fallen one. That's the beast's body. There she reproduces it. See, and all these kind of things. And when you say these kind of things, it's very insulting to them. They don't like that. See, but nevertheless, it's so. Did Eve have a life? Or was she Adam's flesh and bone and the life in her was Adam's life. Did she have a mind of her own? How could she have a mind of her own when she was the flesh of Adam? That's why the mysteries concerning the woman and the man, as to the man and the woman, no longer twain but one flesh, as to the church. Do I have a mind? Of course not. I'm the breath of God. I haven't merited anything. I graced mine. He merited it for me. See, and like I say, it takes a lot of explaining, a lot of detail, a lot of preaching to break this down to where we could understand it, like putting the pieces of a puzzle together. I just try to lay a little perimeter so that you can let God put it together for you. Just a helper of your faith. See, and so then when the woman feels indignant, don't feel that way. You're only symbolic of what we as men are and all people together. You're just exactly the man. And we as the man, we're just exactly the woman. And Adam was that woman. And flesh is that woman. And if she doesn't receive the name of her husband in all these religious trends of today, she is a whore. A Trinity sort of a thing, teaching something that she don't know nothing about, vainly puffed up by her fleshly mind, getting that from the nice council over in Germany, and taking off with that thing, and she has just gone wild with foolishness, and it's the woman's world. And she's producing bastard child and sodomites and beast, and in Adam all die. In that seed of the perverted, even the beast, Adam, in which Satan placed himself to corrupt that blood and turn it into beast blood, just with a breath of life. See, folks, so the beginning of the creation doesn't even get started till after Calvary. So you that are born again, ye that have the seed of God, you that are conceiving as to Christ being formed within you, see, this is where the secret is. This is where the mystery is. All this is working on the inside of you. So I'm not condoning ignorance. I believe in medicine. Medicine doeth good. The Bible speaks of that. I believe in physician. The sick needs a physician. The Bible speaks of that. But I don't believe in hogwaller. I don't believe that we ought to put our pennies together and all our money together, our labors together, and build a hospital and put beds and put all these wonderful things that God has given us as to something to breathe and help the little child with us, the congestion, help the people and work with them and all this wonderful skill and knowledge and put it with a bunch of pigs. Pardon my expression. Put it with a bunch of pigs that they can get up there and call themselves physicians and a bunch of nurses to where they can intermingle like a bunch of dogs and lap the vomit, waller in the mire, and frolic around with each other as a bunch of adulterers and fornicators and do away with all the virtue of the world and catch everybody coming in the front door, man or woman, and turn them into a pig and a dog. And by the time they get out there, they stripped them down like a common prostitute and a whoremonger. I don't believe in that. And then go around with the collar and tie as the Mr. Ecclesiastical and the ecclesia of the world. I don't believe in that. I believe they gave them handmaids and it worked fine. Let's give the Lord a hand. They didn't have to have all the rest with all the filth. All the sorrows coming, all the heartaches is coming, all the diseases is coming because of sin and because of the defiling and the virtue's gone. Even virtue going out of the Lord Jesus' body healed the people. If we'd keep a little virtue in us, we'd stay healed. We'd get everything and be all right. You love the Lord? Even a preacher, when he stores up virtue and preaches, did you know the people will draw it out of him? And he'll get so weak he can't go. Jesus said, I perceive that virtue went out of men. Virtue went out of them ever were, healing the people. What's wrong with the people today of being sick? They don't have any virtue, even the church. Now somebody said, but Brother Pike, now wait just a minute. Now I got sick. I know I got sick too. The Bible said, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but God delivereth him out of them all. I got sick a lot of times. Now, somebody said, well, what does that mean? That means that sin done it. Sin is to blame for it all. These two old-timers used to sing the song, Sin is to Blame for It All. Oh, somebody said, well, I didn't do that. You know you're lying. You did do it. Who done it? You done it. Oh, no, Brother Pike. Oh, yes, you did. Somebody says, you mean to tell me that I've sinned? The Bible says there's not a man or woman that liveth that sinneth not. Let's give him another.
So you must have. All flesh is corrupted its way before God. He was bruised for us all. The chastisement of our peace is upon him. By his stripes we're healed. See, I'm saying this, folks. The prophet said the word of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. It's never, never a flaw in it. Never at any time has he ever altered it. Has he ever changed it? It don't matter what happens to me or what happens to you. It's because of sin. Sin gets in. We make an allowance. We stumble. We stagger somewhere. We might not spare our body for the sake of Christ Jesus. But whatever. Somebody says, well, look at Paul. Wasn't he ordained to suffering? I say this to my wife a lot of times. He was, to show the life of Jesus Christ. But all he reaped was what he did when he imprisoned people and stoned people and he had people beat and all the things that he went through with. And the Lord chose that for Paul's sake. Paul did it in ignorance. And God has people that he allows those things to. But folks, he uses. And what I'm saying is, when you walk right with God, God will keep you well and healthy. And he'll make you well and healthy. I know we're aging. I understand that. I wished I had, my heart is enlarged to you. I wished I could just pour my heart out and go in detail for about 24 solid hours just without stopping. And you had the patience and really would listen. And that would give us a little tad of what we are searching for. And I could explain a few of these things that would really be a benefit to you, that would help you, and not I, but Christ, that would help you physically, naturally, and spiritually. And then I get back to this. I don't condone ignorance. I believe in all of these kind of things. I believe in homes and houses and land and moons and stars and fishes and birds and trees. And God made them all just for you and me. But I don't believe in the infiltration that come through the fall as from the tree of knowledge that got into man that caused death and caused all this stuff to be contaminated and to be under the curse to bring sin and sickness and perversion and cursing and lying and cheating and swindling and manipulating and lusting and wrong thoughts and just vulgarness. I don't believe in that. And I don't believe in turning everything into just throwing your pearls before swine and turning them into a hog waller and vomit with all of this defiling men's wives and husbands throwing their virtue away and little girls being ravished and all the virtues gone. The devil doesn't want anything that will hinder him. He wants us to live like a bunch of animals because that's what you are in your first birth. And scientists through the DNA, they're proving that. They're going on to prove that the blood cell, that is the blood seed or the cell of the animal, will work with the human cell. You know, it's been in the past that he couldn't put beast blood into a human vein, you would kill the person. And it's still that way. But now they're finding out the cells are relative, and even to the wheat cells. And they're finding out that all of this is relative. And that they can use that as to the correction of the cells. Those cells can be corrected as to a mutilated thing, whatever you want to call it. See, as we say a mutilated thing, that they can go in there and correct that and put something to command the performance where these things will straighten out, which really will result in one thing, and that's bringing forth a monster that can exist, not life. But a monster that can exist as messing with the body because all that's given into the hands of Satan. And he is a great superior power as to a knowledge of right and wrong, knowing it both as to the tree of knowledge. And he will perfect that to the extent that when that comes to pass, it'll be just in time to become a prison to him as to those spiritual powers of the fallen angels that has gotten into the bodies and tormented the people and that has tormented Christ that tried to live in his body, aggravating him, that is, we say, not tormenting, but him feeling the feeling of our infirmities as the high priest, and he'll fasten them up in those bodies to where they can feel that because they're angels that can't do it outside of that, but they can feel it in that body and take that body and throw it into a lake of fire alive. And death will be lifted through the tribulation period to where they can't even find death as a means of relief to get away from the evil and the darkness of intellectual ignorance will cause them to gnaw their tongues for pain and there won't be any healing medicine in that day. See, so I believe in all these wonderful things of God. rending the veil, giving Esau his part as to the body, and that which is as to the educational side of it, and which is the natural vanity side of it in this world. And I believe in the spiritual man on this side over here that's going to redeem all of that away from the vanity through Christ Jesus by his blood and come to have that. And God is not trying to throw all of that away. It's made for us. It was the garden. He's trying to redeem all that. He so loved it that he redeemed it. See, but what he is trying to do is run it through the filter of Calvary. Filter, get that infiltration out, all of this filth out of our mind as to that warfare of double-mindedness, and let us have the mind of Christ take over his body, enjoy his bride as his body to the reproduction of testimony as to his own posterity. See, and what we're trying to do is work with him. He that gathereth not with me scattereth abroad. See, and so we're trying to be not double-minded, but if I have understanding to be single. Our whole body's full of light. And we get rid of that eye of the dark light as to make us double-minded. See, and so we believe in all those wonderful things. If they're setting order, use right, and what God is trying to do is bring it through the dark room. If we had time to explain it and bring it on out to a positive and not capture the darkness as... Whereas, you know, you take a negative, it's nothing but light in the middle of it. When you flash, you don't really have any image except something that's right in the middle of a big black nothing. And you just look through like a window. But see, he is not capturing the darkness. He eliminated all the darkness, the infiltration. What he did, he captured through the process of the darkness and the changing of the spiritual things, as we say, he captured what he created, what he spoke into existence, the way the garden was before the infiltration, and brings it out of the darkness, eradicates the negative, brings that positive, does away with that, and we're back in the garden with all this wonderful positive. Whenever we look at it, and it's so beautiful, it's redeemed all that we lost into the intellectual mind of foolishness and of that of the colleges and schools of today that the law forces you to go to with the badge and the gun, in that sin gets its strength by the law. So does the old house of prostitution get its strength to force your children to eat out of the garbage cans by the law. Let's give the Lord that. You don't want to do it. That's why Satan has tried so hard with the Clinton administration to do away with a child being born as to the royal seed to take over the world, the sons of God, by putting out these little places all around. And my, I wish we had time to really elaborate and talk the way the Lord tells it. All right, so it's a Babylon, a mess of confusion, a problem, when it would be so beautiful otherwise. All of this thing is gone as to your problem. Can't get into it tonight, maybe sometimes we can, but I want to say this. See, God created all of this, and this belongs to him, and all this thing that's supposed to be such a place of dignitaries and up in the upper echelon in money powers and all this kind of thing, that's just men, that's Satan that's got those bodies, started all these things from the old tree of knowledge and raised him up something that is nothing but a cover-up. He's filthy, he's dirty, he's scummy, he's ugly, he's corrupt, he's full of vulgarness, and he covers it up with his money and his collar and tie and his humanistic ethics, as from school. So, that's the way it is. Tell it like it is, that's the way it is. See, and the world doesn't see it, because can a hog deny slop? Can a dog deny vomit? Can they find anything wrong with it? No, they're a beast. See, and the genes is going to prove that. And they're going to prove that man's nothing but a beast. That it all will mix, and it's just a matter of the missing link. One of these nights, maybe we talk on that some. We have to some of the brethren. So when we come to this, I'm just saying as a few little guidelines tonight and a few little formulated expressions that you might be able to kind of trace your footsteps and find out what we're doing here. See, I'm just saying a few of these things. So when we look at it, then we know God created the earth. We know that. We know he created the heavens.
You know, he created the seas. Species all in there. It's a beautiful, beautiful thing as to what it has to do with. So then I say, you know, we're going to teach on first power, second power, third power. Then I go through these things as human titles and definitions. Because God said, Adam, whatever you call it, that's what it'll be. I'll accept it. You just name it. So today Adam keeps naming it. Whether it's archaeological, biological, or whatever it might be as to the world of chemicals and the study of chemistry or whatever. So when we see this, we know that the ultimatum of it, it comes into a numerical order. It's all pulled together in a 1, 2, 3 and an ABC. For a beast, and all of the beasts have to head up in a beast. And so then they have to go by, you know, give me your paw and roll over. And these kind of things, because that's all they are. From the dust thou art to the beast or dust thou shalt return. So when it comes to this, that's all that they are. And measuring themselves by themselves with their diplomacies, they are not wise. So we see all the heartaches and the sorrow and all these problems. And their bodily structure, their life consistence is nothing, folks. I tell you again, nothing as to that molecular structure. It is nothing. Nothing but a little cosmic quickening. That's all it is. God has made that sun up there to keep this world as a symbolic of Him, the great light. Without it, the world would freeze over. Hot or cold, that's fine. So when we talk about these things, then we realize that there is emanating from that sun light. We can see it. We can tell it. That is, we can record it on our nerves. We can feel it, that is. See it comes down. And when that light comes down, then we know that is an electrical force. Got to be, because of the friction. That thing is in a work of friction up there. Though the sun stands still, positionally speaking, yet it's boiling all the time like a pot. And there's a frictional thing. That's an electrical force. And it's coming down through the spheres. And God has so created the atomic particles as we examine it to see that it does cause a friction and a quickening that we can break down in a form of mass and matter as to a true understanding. Now, when we do see this, we do see that it is a thing that's relative, as of a relativeness. Like I've had him to show me these things in a great way. And some of the things that are not theory as to science. Some of it is real truth that God has allowed to come. Like Benjamin Franklin and some of the other attaching on to electricity as to the war in heaven, the lightning coming down, and this world being the world of Satan. I beheld Satan's lightning fall from heaven. A new world, we call it. Satan, the lightning, an angel, light, as on the hillside of a shepherd, coming down and taking control of the world and of the atomic particles and the way that it has been created, him being the God of this world and being the prince of the powers of the air as to the atomic particles and all these things. Just like Jesus said, I'm the prince of life. Adam was the prince of the world and Satan took advantage and Jesus is the prince of life. Seek the world and you lose life. Seek life and you get the world. You get it all. So then, and what I'm saying is that this body is nothing but just that quickening as to that vibrance that Satan is seized upon in the bloodstream, being called the red dragon, having the breath of life in control. And that's all you are. That's all you are. A good jolt, the heart stops. That's all you are, a little pump. And your life consists of heat as to friction with the blood running through your body. That's all you are. And the stronger your little pump is, the more force there is to the push as to the blood and the greater the friction and the more strength you have, the more impulsive it is. See, the more alert you are in your brain as to that blood flowing through like that, the more it holds the structure to, we say the superstructure, to its framework and to its stability of life. And then when you quit The way you keep that little pump strong, you keep doing something, doing something, doing something, doing something. See, you keep active. And then you slow down and retire. The thing that you want to do is the thing that kills you. When you stop, then the little pump gets weaker. Then the flow is not so strong. And the friction not so great. So the heat is not as much. And like David, when they tried to get heat to his body, they couldn't. Well, anyway, going on, we don't have time to get into those things. I wish we did. I wish we could just take it from a biological approach and break it down as to the human chemistry or the bodily chemistry, you know, or go as to the archaeological side of it and take the chemical side of it as to the study like an archaeologist and bring different things out as to the way that God created man and what brought it about and how life comes and how life continues and where life stops. And the difference between life as to what you call life and real life that's eternal life and how that we have eternal life and can have eternal life and how that we can have natural life and how that we can lose natural life and how we can fail to get eternal life. And when these things got started and how long they were supposed to go and when they're supposed to stop and when the change is supposed to come, all these kind of things. I just love to go in them. There are thousands of things. And the Bible said, great is the mystery of godliness. And it's for the church to know this. Paul received the mystery that took him up to the third heaven. So then, when I say that that's all you are, that's all you are. If we don't make a switch over, we've fallen as people through Adam from the Shekinah quickening that he was illuminated with. And it was brought back as to the beginning of the creation when Jesus came, as in the resurrection, going down 1 minute Calvary. As to that Adam, to our for our offenses, as to that body, as to which we're made in, and coming up out of the womb of Mother Earth, as that new body, as the body of Jesus Christ, with the new blood cell and the new quickening as to the life. See, and a new world, and old things have passed away, and behold, all things are new. And I just wish we could go into that, and maybe we will someday. But anyway, I'm saying that's all you are. And if you don't make the change, there ain't no need of getting upset with God. And saying, well, God's going to save me. I belong to whatever. And I do this and I pay my bills. And I got my ritualistics. And I count my beads. And I go to church and I fast. And, you know, it don't make no difference. Pray long prayers. Fast, long fast. That ain't got nothing to do with it. You are a molecular structure with a cosmic quickening. A potentiality of energy as to potential energy that has to be changed into kinetic energy through the vibrance. And it has been switched over to that when the illumination left as to the true light. Satan taking advantage. He is the prince of this world. It was made for him as to the process, to the plan of God. And that's all you are. And if you don't switch over, you're going to belong to him and you're going to go out with him. And as he goes out, you're going to go out. And there ain't nothing that you can do about it. I don't care what you do. If you don't have his spirit, you're none of his. And his spirit means the new quickening. As through the blood application, it'll only come through the blood application of grace, the new blood. Israel cannot be saved until it comes to him as the mount on a mount of Zion and the blood as to the lamb on Mount Zion in the last part of the world after the church is gone. Anyway, we're just hurrying along saying things and saying things and saying things here to let you know that we would like to be able to break it down and teach it. You know, and to bring these things to you in a way that you're going to understand it. But if I do that, then I'll have to start in kindergarten with some of you. And then we'll have to go through elementary school. And then we'll have to go through high school. And then we'll have to go through college. And then we'll have to study for the rest of our life and practicing and enjoying what we've come to as we grow to the greatness of God. So that would take, I don't know how many years, you know more about schooling than I do. So then you'd have to figure up how many years it'd take for all of that. Because all that you see in the natural just for the schooling is only symbolic of your elementary side of life. You know, to get college to God is nothing but elementary. You just go on through all those things. So whatever years it takes you to do that, that's what I'd have to do. Great is the mystery. And that would just be a little beginning thing for your little starter. But it would work out if you got that many hours and we could set that for school every day and we could do that for the next, 5, 10, 15, 20 years, ever what it would take. And it would work out all right. 6, 8 hours a day, what it would take. So you can see, folks, what a dilemma I'm in, what a fix I'm in up here trying to say in 45 minutes to you something
You know, it's real childish, but this is the best I can do. This works real good. If you go back and get some of the earlier tapes that we made, and when we're preaching on the field and preaching to the church, even here, when the people were real primitive, because we holler, we scream, we pop our hand, run across the platform and drag the cord, and that's preaching. And the anointing is moving, the rain's coming down, the people are stirred, and they're quickening, and they fall to the altar. And these kind of things, you know, and they shout, and they pray, and they speak in tongues, all those things, because that's a quickening to the rain on the body. And even the gifts working as to the body. See, but when it comes to the church, that's the conversion. When it comes to the church, it's a tutoring. And to give you some idea, when it comes to the tutoring, then it's Sunday school and teachings and all these things for years as they put their little pamphlets and send them to you week after week. And then when it comes to revelation, Paul said, a study as Moses learned in all the ways of Egyptian. Then Paul learned in all the ways of the Jews, all of his life studied, and then had to go 3.5 years out in the desert, or about 3 years out in the desert, just continually learning as to unveil what he had already learned. So we're just trying to do a little bit here when it comes to teaching, to the edification, to try to help you. And if you could work with us, let us work with you, and we all work together, it would be so much better. And Brother Pike's not scolding you, nor do I want to lord over you, have the preeminence. I'm just telling you that when you do it this way, it ain't like the denominational world, and it ain't going to be the same. I know you resent me. See, you don't know that I know that. You sitting there resenting me. I know that. See, this is what makes it so dangerous. I've got your soul in my hand. I can bless you or curse you. I can remit your sins or I can retain your sin. This is the house of God where judgment begins, and we're up here as the judge. See, that's what the whole court is about, just symbolic of this right here. That's why you have 12 elders, just like you do a jury. See, and I know you're sitting there resenting me. I know you're letting the devil do that. See, and that's the filth that needs to be washed out of you. Your old intellectual self, prestige and conceit and pride of your old beast mind that's imitant to God, that carnality of death that God hates as a bastard child. That's working that old brain through your human senses and warring against God and against the Word, knowing that it's not the man speaking, but God speaking from within him, trying to get to his subject. See, and not conducting yourself right in the house of God, which is the ground and pillar of the truth, sitting in the seat of the scornful with your thoughts and standing in the way of sinners by hindering the move of the Spirit. Because if one member suffer, they all suffer. And you are a spirit on the inside, and you let an evil spirit get hold of your spirit. It's to the strength of a fallen angel to war, as it was when the angels come down to Daniel and Satan intercepted with those evil angels to cause problems. But your day will come. All right, let's stand together. I love you, and I'm not scolding you. I'm speaking to the beast, some brute beast, made to be taken and destroyed, and I'm speaking to them that are contrary. God said, walk contrary to me, and I'll walk contrary to you. And I'm insulting your intellectual brilliance. And they said to Elijah, you know, do thus and thus, and he mocked them. Oh, somebody says, but God isn't mocked. I didn't say he mocked God. I said Elijah mocked him. The Bible said he mocked him. See, he said to them when they couldn't get any answer, said, maybe your God is asleep. He said, or perhaps he's on a long journey, and went on. Folks, let me tell you something. Our God isn't asleep. The Bible said he that keeps Israel shall not slumber. He's not on a long journey. He takes care of us all day. And those gates to that city is open by day, and there's no night in that city. See, somebody said, well, what's that got to do with us? That has everything to do with you. That's where the stones are. That's why I say the light most precious that comes from that city and from those stones, all of the nations shall walk in the light of that headstone, setting down as a pyramid, Jesus Christ being the chief cornerstone. That is, he is at the top of that headstone that sets down, and that light radiating through there, and the kings of the nations come in and out those gates as to bring praises and honor and glory as from the people. Some over 10, some over 50 cities, whatever it might be. As to the type you see today, so it will be there as to being understood. And when it comes to pass, they come in and they drop their crowns down at his feet. Never no night, they're never tired in the world to come, that is to say the celestial. And they put their crowns down at his feet, saying, "We praise thee, thou hast made us priests and kings unto our God, and we give thee the glory." And acknowledge him not as a king, but as a king of kings. Not as a priest, but a priest, a priest. You may be brilliant. You may have good understanding because they are wise men. God had wise men that he sent. The wise men that studied the stars. See, I say, it's not all religion the way you think. God's the one that made all these other things that these men reflect in their intellectual thrust. When they accredit to themselves brilliance, they're only reflecting God. He's the brilliance. They're nothing but a vanity and a reflection as to a mirror, a vanity of that will fade away. But you're not that. And see, if it's a study of any of these kind of things, then we're the one to study it because we know about it. If it's mind over matter, it's our mind which is the mind of Christ from whence matter emanated, not from Satan. As to the reflector and that's confiscated and got in between God and his creation that caused all the problems with their foolishness, their intellectual ignorance of science, falsely so-called, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of anything that's true. And when the light as to the grace of God, the blood's gone, the reflection as to reflecting our light, they can't even perfect a bottle of medicine as to their brilliant physicians that we so trust in. Folks, let's wake up. When they awoke, they saw his glory. Could you not watch with me 1 hour, Jesus said, when he sweated blood? Let's wake up and let's realize how great God is and that the whole world is waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. And you may be brilliant. There are wise men, priests, great men in the earth. But remember, it's a matter of you being great. If it is, your greatness come from him. In man's wisdom, they knew not God. They didn't even recognize him. Even the ecclesia of that day didn't even recognize him. And said, "And I turned their wisdom into foolishness." So all of their diplomacies and all of whatever they got is a bunch of foolishness of human reasoning. And it is so foolish that rather than going to college and going to school and doing all these things, God said, "Don't you even lean to your own understanding. Get rid of every one of your thoughts. It's nothing but vanity. Cast them all down." And Paul said, "I'm determined to know nothing except Christ." So when it comes to this, bringing every thought into subjection, folks, if you're brilliant, you'll acknowledge him because like those kings, you might be a king and you might have a position. But when you meet him, you realize that you're just a little candlelight. And he's the great sunlight that puts all the stars out to the extent that they're all swallowed up in him. But at his absence as the great day star, then you can shine through the darkness of the intellectual surroundings of those who think they're brilliant to be a light as they reflect it through their theorizing. As the blind bat that sensually they pick up a little here and there. Can we sing a little chorus together? We enter to God's house, the ground and pillar of the tree, and then God comes to speak to us. Tell me his name. Again, can you sing that with me? Oh, sing me that sweet refrain. of Jesus in love, who came down from above to die on the cross in shame. The story my heart has stirred, it's the sweetest that I've ever heard. It bandishes fear, brings me hope and cheer. Tell me his name again.
Can you sing one more time with me?
Oh, tell me his name once again. Sing me that sweet refrain of Jesus in love, who came down from above to die on the cross sin shame. The story my heart has heard, the sweetest that I've ever heard, bandishing fear, bringing hope and cheer. Tell me his name again.
Let's sing this little chorus.
Come a little closer, just a little closer, oh, come a little closer to the Lord. The altars are open. Your days will brighten when you come a little closer to the Lord. Oh, come a little closer, just a little closer, oh, come a little closer to the Lord. Your heavy load will lighten, and your days will brighten when you come a little closer to the Lord. I remember, brother, when I was like you, traveling down a road of sin. Trouble in my soul, I was carrying a heavy load, looking for the day it would end. Then an old high preacher came a-calling, from the good book he read a few words. Now I can say that I'm happy every day I came a little closer to.
Sing that with me.
Come a little closer, just a little closer, come a little closer to the Lord. Your heavy load will lighten, and your days will brighten when you come a little.
Can you sing that with me one more time?
So I came a little closer, just a little closer, oh, I came a little closer to the Lord. My heavy load will then brighten when I came a little.
One more time.
So come a little closer, just a little closer, oh, come a little closer to the Lord. Your heavy load will lighten, and your day will brighten, come a little closer to the Lord.
Somebody say praise the Lord, just a little closer. One of these nights, the good Lord willing, we're going to minister on some things that will thrill your soul. If you just pray and ask the Lord to make a way. All these things he has given us, all these things he has placed within our heart for the church, because we are a shepherd. He is the chief shepherd. We're just his shepherd. But we are the shepherd. And it's not us speaking when these things come forth. That's him. And he gets the glory for it. We're just his shepherd. And we're like a pipe the water comes through. We try to stay to where we're not stopped up to where it can come through. And like I said, a lot of you have gifts.
And if you clear out the pipe, then the first news you know, the water of the glory of God would come through and you'd be speaking in tongues. You'd be interpreting. You'd be prophesying. You'd be seeing visions. You'd be having dreams. My. And some of you, of course, I'm just getting some reports that some of you are having dreams, men and women alike. And, you know, it's really something that the women are getting these dreams because that has to do with the redemption of the body. When women start seeing this, it indicates as to the latter part that now the body is being redeemed, which means that you that are men, your body is beginning to see the revelation. That's what your wife represents. And these women are seeing dreams. A lot of them are seeing dreams. They're having dreams that's really of God. Like Joseph in the Bible, he was a dreamer. See, and when he went to his father and he told him, he said, I had a dream. His brethren didn't like him because he had a dream. And he said, I had a dream. And said, in this dream, I saw the stars, and I saw the moon, and I saw the sun, and they done opposites unto me. And it really shook his dad up. You know, he was a great, mighty man of God. And he said, are you telling me that it's going to come to pass that I and your mother is going to bow down to you? Now, he could see the sun bowing down to him because he favored Joseph. He was the one with the coat of many colors that had to do with the Lord Jesus. The pit, the blood, the beast, all these things. Well, I wish we could talk about it. But anyway, it came to pass. It came to pass. See, he could understand dreams, so he could interpret. And a lot of these dreams, like Solomon, Daniel said, I dreamed, and the vision of my head troubled me. All these great things. See, you are the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. Think, if Daniel could do that, if Joseph could do that, if Solomon could do that, there's a greater than Solomon here now. Someone would say, who is this greater than Solomon, Brother Pike? It's the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, members in particular. Hallelujah. Somebody said, Brother Pike, you mean Solomon with all of his great wisdom? The Bible said you have an unction from the Holy One that you should know all things. Solomon didn't know all things. Somebody say hallelujah. Greater are you, just a member of the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, the rulers of heaven and earth. Wow, that makes me feel good. Glory to God. This ain't a fantasy. This ain't a television program. This is real. All right, so then you are the beloved body of the Lord Jesus Christ, members in particular. And we sing these little songs so that you can be stirred in your soul, and these gifts are in the church. And God is wanting to use them. I haven't pressed this much because I didn't want a lot of fanaticism. As I told a brother today, when Joseph told his father that, he didn't press the issue too much to encourage Joseph because that meant that he was going to rule over the father and over the mother. And he knew Joseph wasn't in no condition to do that right then. He was just growing up. So see, we know that you're just growing up. And we're working with you, and God's working with you. But you still have those gifts. They're still there in you. And someday they're going to break out. They're going to work. They're going to work. And we're getting to the place now to where we're moving into what we call the third power. When it goes to the third power, so the gaseous stages, then that means it's power, it's life. See, and we're growing into that now. And it's going to be that it's not going to be you speaking. But when the inspiration comes and you prophesy according to your measure of faith, it's going to be God speaking. And we didn't want a lot of fanaticism, so we haven't pressed this. It isn't because you couldn't have prophesied, and it isn't because it wouldn't have been of God. But the charismatic order of today takes advantages to the reign on the terror, on the unjust, and they use the gifts. And even some people pervert it as it when it comes to witches, fortune tellers, and like Balaam, they sell out for money. Or like it was Esau when he sold his birthright for a morsel of bread. So when it comes to these things, we haven't pressed this yet because I wanted the body of Christ to speak. I want something beautiful. Like a man that came to visit with us today. He come down from the outer perimeter of Atlanta around Shamley, and he had sold his home and he moved down to the earth of Bull Spring, he and his wife. And he come by today, he must have been in his late 20s or maybe early 30s, and Brother Richard Lord, or a Mr. Richard Lord, he works at a gas company. And he came in and he talked with us, and he said, I want to find out something about this place. He said, I saw this on television. And he said, and I didn't agree with them people when they attacked this. Said the way that y'all answered, he thought it was just excellent as to the answers that was given to the critics. And he was carried away with it so much, he said, I decided that I was coming down here and make inquiry and find out for myself. And said, I'm here to find out for myself. And said, we've been going to a Primitive Baptist church. He said, but you know, since I come here, he said, this is real nice. Said, y'all got a wonderful place, as he put in his words. And then he talked to us, and he said, after that, we had conversation and talked and got acquainted. He said, I'm going to bring my wife, and we're going to come down here and be in service with him. See, so it doesn't matter what they do as to the critics. You know, when they run in on the front page of the Atlanta Journal, it didn't do us no harm. There was people that came and said, we know that y'all are clean now, because if there had been anything, the paper would have found it. And said, we could tell it wasn't nothing but just the writers. And some of them said, well, Brother Pike, you're just a little critical according to our news medias. No, let's just look at it for a minute. It's like somebody come today and said, Brother Pike, did you see that when it was on television? I said, no, I got the report of it. Said, well, said, I saw it. And said, they have securities down there, but they don't carry guns. Said, but, said, there is swords in the church. Have you looked at our swords up here? I thought we might could project them on television and let them know about these dangerous swords. Wouldn't that make them alive look like a bunch of kids? Let's give the Lord a hand. And besides that, they've attacked at you three different times, and now they failed to third place from first, second, third. Somebody say hallelujah. That shows that God is watching after you. He's watching after us. Hallelujah. Touch not mine anointing. Do my prophets no harm. Vengeance is mine, and I will repay. My, if you knew what was going on tonight, as to the natural, physical, spiritual, as to the government, as all of the world, my, let's give him another hand. Somebody, hallelujah. Somebody, hallelujah. Come on, the Bible says, praise him, hallelujah. 10,000 praises to the Lord. Somebody, a little hallelujah. Come on. Come on, folks. Can't you say praise the Lord? What's wrong? Glory to God. Use your strength for God. Love him with all of your heart, with all of your might, with all of your strength. Lift up your voice like a trumpet. Make a loud noise, the Bible said unto the Lord. Hallelujah. And the Bible said his voice was like many waters. All of the people together. Praise God. Let's sing the old time religion. Can we sing that? Got that old time religion. Got that old time. Got that old-time religion, mind. Oh, give me that old-time religion. Old-time religion, give me that old-time religion. Good enough for me, it makes me love everybody. Love everybody. Love everybody, and it's good enough. Better get the old-time religion. Old-time religion, better get the old-time religion. It's good enough for me. It will take us all to heaven. One night we're going to talk about that. We're going to find out what that's all about. All to heaven, and it's good enough. I've got that old-time religion. Old-time religion. Got that old-time religion. And somebody say hallelujah. We're going to sing another little chorus or two, and we're going to let you go. It's so wonderful to be a Christian. Let's sing this little chorus that we sing so much. I read in the Bible where God so loved sinners, gave his son to die in their place. Can
we thank God for His marvelous grace. Thank God there's a bridge over the river someday. I'm gonna see God's lovely face. With Him, gonna abide there forever. Thank God for His marvelous. Sing that with me. Thank God. I'm going to ask Brother John to come up here and dismiss us. I will see God's sweet face.